I don't know. We're doing record.
You should be a member.
All right. So we're going to go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verses 31 and 30. Or 31. I'm learning how to count still. All right. So we're going to do 30 and 31. We're going to read these two verses out together, and then we're going to go to our text for tonight. So starting at verse number 30 of John chapter 20. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Again, I just say it each time I read it. You know, not everything that Jesus did is written in here. But what we need to know is written. And what we need to know from the book of John, it tells us these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing ye might have life through his name. This book was written so you and I would know that Jesus is the Son of God. And if we believe on him, that is what will take us to heaven. All right, let's go to John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. I'm going to read a couple verses out. And then, just like we've been doing, we're going to kind of go back through them. And I'll point out just little things that God has shown me and opened up to me. You know, it's not everything. And I know another preacher will come by. But isn't that the wonderful thing about the Word of God? Each time, even if it's the same story, over and over and over, you get something new, because this book is not dead. The Holy Spirit opens up to us what we're able to handle. We're not always able to handle everything. It's like a water bottle. You know, if you've got a water bottle like this, and if I were to take some water, here, I'll take this. If I were to take some water and start pouring it in, there's a point where it's going to start overflowing. That's how we are. We don't always get to know everything right away. God says, I'll let you know what you can handle. And then as time goes on, we're able to handle a little more, a little more, a little more. And that's how it is with the Word of God. You read a little bit today, okay. Then you read more tomorrow, okay. Read that same passage 3 years from now and you'll learn something new. It's like, oh, I didn't see that before. Why didn't I see that, Lord? But that's the great thing about the Word of God. All right, so we just got through going over the nobleman's son and the healing of that. We went over that last week. We're going to go into John chapter 5. I'm going to read down through verse number 9. I'll read through verse number 9, and then we'll come back and we'll go over a few things here. So the Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 1, it says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. So, we're looking at this. Whenever you read through the Word of God, you've got to make the Word of God alive to you. If you read it just verbatim, and you're like, oh, yep, well, I did my duty, I check off my box, a lot of times you will not get out what you could get out of the Bible. Make it alive. Actually see what's going on. The first thing that I was looking at is we're traveling from Cana, because that's where he did the nobleman's son. He said, nobleman came up to him, hey, heal my child, lest they die. Okay, you won't believe if you don't see signs. Come, Lord, you need to heal my child. Okay, your child's healed. Go. Okay, that was in Cana. He leaves Cana and travels back up to Jerusalem. Okay? So now he's at Jerusalem because there was a feast going on. But look in verse number 2. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which in the Hebrew tongue, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. So there's this pool of water, but the five porches are, if you looked at it from a satellite view, you would see five different, in a sense, little house areas, or little gazebos, if you would. And that's where these people were. They were waiting for this water to be moved. Because in verse number 3, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. They were there waiting on this pool. They were there waiting on this water. They were not waiting for the Savior. Just like the nobleman heard that Jesus came into Cana, Jesus was being heard of all over. The Pharisees, as we go through and we're going to study this, the Pharisees hear of him coming through and they run him off out of that town. So he goes to the next town. Jesus moved with the movers. Where he was welcome, he stayed and did miracles. Where he wasn't welcome, he got up and moved on. Move with the movers. Verse number 4, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool. This is interesting. This angel went down, okay? God, I don't know if you ever heard this term before. Can God make a rock that he cannot move?
No way.
He can. God can make a rock that he cannot move. Because it's God deciding, not us. When we hear that term, we say, oh, well, God can't. Well, if he can't move it, he can't make it. No, he can, because he's God. God can do anything. Even if it's illogical to us. I'll give you the classic example I try to give to everybody. Okay, we do this thing called tithing. God says, give 10% of your income, because that is what God said. God said, give 10% of your income back to me. I'm giving you everything, just give me 10% back. Okay? Everything is his already. But he says, give 10%. Well, when you take your paycheck, let's say it's $100. I'm going to do easy math here. $100, okay? Now, a lot of times we'll say, oh, well, I have to pay $50 for rent, and I have to pay $20 for internet, groceries, $20 for gas. Now I'm only left with $10. That $10 is God's. It should be up here at first. That's the first thing you should take off. But when you look at that, that is illogical. If you tell somebody that is not saved, that has never been in church, hey, give 10% of your income to the church, they're going to look at you with a third eye and say, why would you give your money away? That's not going to help you. You're trying to save up for something. Put it all into savings. No. You give 10%, because if you don't give 10%, you're gonna have a hole in your wallet. And you don't know where that money's gonna go, and you're gonna be like, where's all my money? It's because God said this is what you're supposed to do. But to the world, it's illogical. But remember, with God, all things are possible. I can do all things, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ, that's the key there. Through Christ I can do all things. I can't do all things myself. But I can do all things through Christ. But there is, it's an oxymoron that you hear, because God can't move the rock, but he can. If that's his will to move the rock, he can move it. If it's will not to move the rock, then he won't move it. It's like Jesus said when he was teaching his disciples to pray. You've probably heard the term. What is that? It just escaped my mind. Mountains. You shall say to this mountain, move, and it shall be removed. Teaching about prayer. Mm-hmm. That mountain will move if God wants it to move. If God doesn't want it to move, it doesn't matter how hard you pray, that mountain won't move. It's God's will ultimately. If it's God's will for that mountain to move, that mountain will jump out of the way. I mean, no, I'm not lying either, though. If God wants a mountain to move and he said, hey, I want you to pray for this mountain to move, that mountain will move. And I'm not speaking figuratively. I'm speaking actually. God will move that mountain.
You really have to have faith.
Uh-huh.
To believe that.
You got to have the faith to believe it.
That's right.
And we're gonna come down to something. I want to give you something on faith tonight, but let's rush through because we only got a couple more minutes here. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, troubled the water. Whosoever then at first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. We don't know how often the angel did this. It said at a season. That season, when you go back to the Greek, it literally means just a certain time. It could have been a certain time of the day, meaning this happened every single day. It could have been a certain day of the week, meaning it could have been a Sunday, it could have been a Monday, it could have been a Thursday. We don't know when this happened, but we know this is what God decided to do. He decided to let an angel go down, move the water, and whoever stepped in was made whole. We don't know at what time. It's very key. I'm going to come back to that. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. This is really interesting because it points him out. It specifically says there was a certain man. Meaning this was someone who Jesus knew was going to be here. And Jesus went to him. Jesus went to him. The other stories we've heard about up to this point, the people are coming to Jesus. This is the one where Jesus goes to him. The woman of Samaria, Jesus went to the well. She came from the city to Jesus. You go to the nobleman's son, Jesus came into town, and the nobleman came once he heard and said, "Hey, come heal my child." Jesus didn't go to them, they came to him. This is the first story in the book of John that you see Jesus going to the person. So Jesus goes to him. A certain man was there which had infirmity 38 years. That was a long time. I'm just going to say, that was a long time. For whatever it was he had. We don't exactly even know what he had. We know that he was laying down, meaning he might have been, maybe he couldn't walk on his legs. So he was pulling himself by his arms. I don't know. The Bible doesn't actually say. 38 years. Now, the angel troubled the water. We don't know when. Once a year? Once a week? Every day? He was trying to get there every single time. This man had perseverance. He was looking at that pool, and his eyes were so dead set on that pool. He could see nothing else in his vision. He said, "I've got this problem. There's a pool that'll heal me. I need to get there." And then he would see people step in before him. I mean, he could have been like almost there, like at the edge. "Oh, I'm about to get in the pool." And someone comes and jumps in before him. I mean, if it was once a year, he waited that year. He got set for that year. He tried to get there and he couldn't get there. I mean, you've got to put yourself in the shoes of this man. He was trying. But his eyes were not focused right. Because look at verse number 6. When Jesus saw him lie, so Jesus looking at him laying down, okay, he's laying down, and knew that he'd been now a long time in that case, meaning he was laying there for a while. I don't know if Jesus was watching for 15 minutes. I don't know if Jesus was watching for an hour. The Bible doesn't give us the exact time frame. But Jesus was watching this man because that's who he was going to go to. That's who he was going to go heal. Look at this. Been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Okay, this is where we stop because this man's laying there. He's probably crawling his way there. And Jesus comes up to him. Now put yourself in this man's shoes. You've been struggling. You're trying to get there. You're trying to beat people. And Joe Schmo, because you don't know it's Jesus at this point, okay? Walks up to you, and you're still struggling, trying to get there. And he looks down and says, "Hey, don't you want to be healed?" Think about that. Like, seriously, let's put this into the right form. We always read the Bible, and we read it, "Oh, okay, that's a cool story." But think about this. This guy's struggling. "Hey, you want to be healed?" And so, yeah. Yeah, so he looks up to him.
I like playing in the right? Water with my hands.
Yeah, so he looks up to him. He's like, Sir, don't you see? I can't get to the pool. That's where I'm supposed to be healed. I mean, that's exactly what he says in verse number 7. The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. I'm already coming, Jesus, okay? But remember, he doesn't know it's Jesus. But at the same time, a nobleman knew and heard of Jesus. Meaning his fame was going around. And people were hearing there was a man that was healing people, that was taking away diseases. So this impotent man must have heard of Jesus at some point. But he was so focused on getting to that pool that, oh yeah, Jesus is somewhere, but he's not gonna come to little old me. He's not gonna come and help me.
How did the people know about the angel coming to the water? How did they find out about that?
That's a good question, and I would love to be able to give you this awesome biblical scholar. There's nothing. No, there's nothing. And the interest. Go to Acts chapter number 19. Go to Acts chapter number 19. I want to show you something. God chooses. See, this is one thing where God chose it to be this way. We don't know why he chose it this way, but he chose it this way. And he chooses it. Chooses different ways to do miracles all through Scripture. I'm just going to give you one. Acts chapter 19, verse number 11 and 12. Acts chapter 19. Okay, I'm almost there. 19, verse number 11 and 12. Here we go. 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Okay, now we have a semicolon. Or sorry, we have a colon. So it's going to explain what we're talking about when we say special miracles. Verse 12. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs. Wait, what was brought to the sick? What's that next word?
Handkerchiefs.
Handkerchiefs.
Or aprons.
Handkerchiefs or aprons were brought to people that were sick. Read the top of the verse again. So that from his body, we're talking about Paul. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons. So if he had an apron on because I don't know exactly why, maybe he was cooking. Maybe Paul was cooking. I mean, I don't know. And he had handkerchiefs that came from Paul. Okay, Paul is just a man. Let me preference that. He's not God. He's not immortal. He's just a man. Okay? But from his body came these handkerchiefs, came these aprons, and they took it from Paul. Paul gave it to them. Now let's read the rest of the verse. And the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Okay, don't pay money to your TV preachers. You know, I'm not saying they may be preaching good doctrine, good. But you don't pay money and then, oh, I get blessings from it. No, no, no. Oh, you pay money for the special handkerchief and it'll cure up. No, no, no. That's no. Paul was God's man. Paul never said, oh yeah, if you pay me, I'll give you a handkerchief to heal you. No. But this is how God chose to have a miracle performed. We don't know why God chose it that way. God chose the angel back here to trouble the water. We don't know why God chose it that way.
God knows everything, but
yeah. And you know, one day when we get up to heaven, we can ask him, we can say, hey, God, why did you let Paul hand out handkerchiefs so people could be healed? Okay, I mean,
what do you think he gave them those handkerchiefs, the ones that were...
That were sick?
Sick.
Yep.
Okay, and then they wear those.
Yep.
And
well,
maybe that's how they found out that the man was...
Yeah,
sick because he had the handkerchief. I don't know.
And we don't know. And you know, when we get to heaven, we can figure it out. I think we'll be too busy praising our Savior because we get to be face to face with Jesus. So I don't think it'll even matter. But the idea here is, God can choose to do anything however He wants. There is no rock too big for Him to move. If He wants it moved, it'll move. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Whatever God decided. People say the chicken, but hey, God could have brought an egg first and then had a chicken, had it hatch. Okay?
Had the egg in here, that way that's chicken.
It depends. God's will. That's what it comes down to. Right here is it was the will of God to go to this man to heal him. We're going to look next week at more of him actually being healed, because there's a little bit of faith study I want to take you guys through, and I'm going to give you something next week which is bare bones basic for you to understand what faith is, and it's something that helped me out. If it doesn't help you out, like a preacher I heard before, he said, you know, it can be like bubble gum off the bottom of your shoe. Just go ahead and walk it off if it don't fit. But
Brother Ray said that.
Yeah. You got it. Brother Ray said that one. But, you know, if we were to only to take away one little thing from here, God can choose to do his miracles however he wants. However he wants to provide a home for you guys, he could choose. He could choose just to give it to you free of charge. He could choose to make it where you're searching through Facebook or something, and boom, it pops up. He could choose someone to call you and say, hey, I got a place for you. Whatever it is. For us, he could choose someone to come up to us and say, hey, here's some money. Hey, that's exactly what we needed to fix our washing machine. He could choose to say, just get rid of the thing and get a new one. Or you know.
Here's the gear.
Yeah, or, hey, here's the gear. Just pop it in. Yeah. God can choose to do however he wants to. He chose to use the pool here because, like we'll see next week, he gets to see someone that is impotent, that can't do anything, meet the Savior that can do everything.
You know, people better wake up and things now. Because the other day on television, there was about a little boy that almost drowned. And as he was going down to the bottom, he said a man in white put his arm around him and told him everything was going to be okay. And he said the man had a sore in each hand and a sore in each foot.
I don't.
That was on the news.
Yeah. Hey. And he didn't drown.
I don't doubt it. And see, God's still working miracles today. There's been times that I've even heard from other people. I know a guy that his name is Tom Williams. And what he does is he just has a walk with God, and he prays all the time. And he prays for people. If people want him to pray for him, he will. And there's been times where he would go preach a conference. And one time somebody asked him, they said, hey, our AC's out. We've had people come look at it and try to fix it. And, you know, we're just putting it in God's hands. And he's like, would you like me to come pray? So he came over. He came with them, went down where the AC was, and he just put his hand on, not something funky, spooky, but he just put his hand on and prayed and said, Lord, they need this to keep going. They're doing ministry for you, and they want to reach more people for you. Would you please give them a place that would stay cool, especially for their little ones? And a week later, he left after having supper with them, and the next morning, about an hour into his trip out, they gave him a call and said, our AC's working. We don't know what happened. God still does miracles. Like he's still working to this day. He's not dead.
We had a big one. You remember the big gas station down at the crossroads down there? It's gone now. They tore it all down in that. It's huge.
Which one
right
was it?
Right on the corner of Indianapolis and 41.
Okay.
Across from the soap factory.
Yep.
We broke down out there one night, and the car wouldn't start. Three guys in a car. They were dressed really nice. Okay? They were really polite and everything. I mean, real polite. They gave us a jump for the car, okay? And we tried to give them money, and they said, no, where we're going, we don't need it. All right? And we turned our heads just for a few seconds. They were gone. We looked down 41 down that way, Indianapolis.
Yeah.
There was no car.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
You know, as you see this, it's really interesting to me, because you know God was there. And even the Bible talks about we entertain angels unawares. We don't know. You know,
that is true.
God's looking out for his children.
But I'm just thinking, the three men, the three boys that were in the furnace, he might have sent them down to us.
Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Let's pray. I know I took you guys a little longer, but
that's
I think
okay. There's a time limit.
Hang on.
Shouldn't